Good morning and happy Thursday, happy April 10th. We are one day closer to Easter break, everybody, so praise be. Let's see here. We are going to have another tight agenda, so I think we're looking at 4 minutes, five, what do we got?
17 bills,
but four to five minutes per bill. So if I give you this, when the time is up, please be respectful and let's allow somebody else to shine about their local projects. First up, we will have an approval of the minutes, and it looks like Representative Frederick is paying attention. Representative Frederick, would you like to approve the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair.
Right. Any questions, comments, concerns, members? All right. All in approval, say aye.
Aye.
Great. Opposed? All right, minutes are approved. First up, we are going to have Representative O'Driscoll, Chair O'Driscoll, followed by probably Representative Harder and Chair Baker, Representative Dotsett. So please make your way behind the testifying table with your testifiers and get ready to be on deck. Chair O'Driscoll, thank you for coming to the committee today. You may proceed.
Madam Chair, thank you. Chair Lee, thank you for the opportunity to be here. This is a bill that is spirited by a great amount of local government cooperation between the Sauk Rapids Rice School District. You'll hear from Benton County, their participation in this, the City of Sauk Rapids, and Mayhew Lake Township as well. And without any further ado, I have the two county commissioners who have been championing this project and the county engineer, Chris Byrd. And we're going to start with Jared Gopinski, who's a county commissioner, with his testimony on the nature of the project. And this is Commissioner Kapinski.
Thank you for being here, Commissioner. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Jared Gopinski, Benton County Commissioner. Good morning, Co-Chair Franzen and Co-Chair Lee and members of the committee. Thank you again, Representative O'Driscoll, for bringing this forward. Today we are seeking $21 million for the Mayhew Lake Road Safety and Improvement Project. The existing roadway is a high-speed rural roadway with limited trail facilities. This is not optimal for the county now, nor will it be in the future as the city and county's comprehensive land use plans become implemented. However, the safety of this corridor is our most important concern. 5 out of our 8 intersections within the project area have a documented crash higher than the state's critical crash rate. This means that these 5 intersections experience a higher number of crashes than what a normal person would expect at intersections having similar characteristics. As being a longtime member on the Sauk Rapids Fire Department, I have experienced numerous issues and accidents, including a few fatalities that I've worked on. So it is definitely near and dear to my heart. These intersections are identified on the handout with red dots. A corridor access and safety study was completed in 2022 in partnership with the St. Cloud APO, City of Sauk Rapids, and the Sauk Rapids Rice School District. The study determined that roundabouts are the appropriate solution for these intersections to correct the identified safety deficiencies. Other needed improvements identified for the corridor include added traffic capacity, improved traffic flow with reduced delay time, stormwater treatment, and multimodal improvements to be achieved by constructing a shared use path separate from the motor vehicle roadway. Benton County has begun the implementing of the solution identified in 2022. The first application of the safety solution will be the construction of a roundabout at the northern limit of the project corridor. Construction is expected to begin this summer and be completed summer of 26.
And Madam Chair, I would like to have Commissioner Heinen talk about the second part of the project. And just for the committee and personally for you, Madam Chair, this road that we're talking about is mm-hmm. oftentimes used as a crosscut to get to Highway 10 to the Alexandria area for whatever that might be worth.
The city that is easy to get to and hard to leave.
There we are.
Yeah. Maybe we should make it harder to leave.
And we don't want to cut into any more time, so we'll maybe go to Commissioner Heinen.
All right, Commissioner, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Steve Heinen, Benton County Commissioner. Recently, the voters of Sauk Rapids Rice School District approved a bond referendum for the construction of a new early childhood center and an outdoor activity complex. This new construction will occur in the property adjacent to the existing Sauk Rapids High School. The location is identified in your handout. near the north end of the project. Additionally, the city of Sauk Rapids is underway with the development of a large regional park known as Mayhew Creek Regional Sports Complex. This is also identified on the handout just north of the school's construction site. When construction is completed, both the Sauk Rapids New Early Childhood Learning Center, Outdoor Activities Complex, and the city's regional sports complex, and much more people are expected to be using this whole corridor. In addition, traffic will be expected to use the same dangerous intersections that have already been identified with a crash history if we remain at the status quo. We fully achieved the solutions and visions identified in 2022 corridor access and safety study. Bend County has been aggressively pursuing all applicable funding sources. These sources include applying for the build grant, normally known as the RAISE grant. And we've also received earmark money of $5 million for a 29 corridor loop. In addition, the program grants and conditional delegated spending and also wheelage tax and half-cent sales tax for transportation. Thank you for letting us have this conversation with you today, and we're happy to answer any questions the committee members may have.
I do have a question. So as I'm looking at the nice flyer that you have, you have a project cost of $21,371,000. With some federal funds. You're not looking for complete bonding dollars of $21 million, are you?
Madam Chair, what we're looking for is we know that this is something that if you, in capital investment, $21 million is a lot of money. I've counseled them that it's a good idea to talk about phases. And so what's really before you right now is a phase one request so that they can get the project underway and continue to pursue money in other avenues or coming back in the future for future phases.
So you're looking for an appropriation of $21
million? Grand total $21 million, but it is scalable.
Yes. Okay.
And I've talked to Mr. Marble about that.
All right, because the sheet looks a little different.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative O'Driscoll, you mentioned that you received a RAISE grant through... Have you received a letter of acceptance? Is that the question?
Madam Chair, that's a question for Commissioner Heinen. He's the one who mentioned the RAISE grant.
All right. And Chair O'Driscoll, remember to go through the chair.
Thank you. It's my first time in front of a committee, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Hines.
Madam Chair, we have applied three times for the RAISE grant, and we've never been accepted yet.
Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you. That's it.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner?
To qualify that $21 million, we would be willing to accept or deal with a phased solution, and that first phase would be about that $8.75 million for right in front of the school.
Okay.
So the $21 million is an entire project.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense.
Clear.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions, Chair Lee? No? Okay. Representative Driscoll, final thoughts.
Madam Chair, going through the chair, thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here today.
Thank you for turning your listening ears on, Representative O'Driscoll. Okay, we are done with that bill. Next up we have Representative Harder, and I believe you've got testifiers. Are they on Zoom? And then we're going to have Representative Baker after that, so please make your way, okay? Representative Harder, state your name and proceed.
Yes, Bobby Harder, Representative Bobby Harder. Thank you, Chair Franzen and Chair Lee and members for giving us the opportunity to present this bill today. So this project has been in the works for several years, and I have today with me to testify Sibley County Public Works Director Tim Becker and City of Gaylord Administrator Steve Hilgert, and I believe we'll start with Tim Becker.
And whomever would like to proceed, please state your name for the record.
All right. My name's Tim Becker, Sibley County Public Works Director. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. Thank you, Committee, for hearing our project today. So the county's been working with the City of Gaylord since 2017. At that point in time, the city constructed a new elementary school, which is on the backside of the sheet. It's located on County State Aid Highway 10. After the construction of this road, it kind of changed the traffic patterns around the city a little bit. And there's a city street called Melrose Street, and it intersects with State Highway 5 and State Highway 19 at a skewed intersection. The traffic accidents have increased over because of the new school and the increased traffic patterns. We joined with MnDOT in 2020 to do a traffic study to try and figure out a solution to the problem. And what was identified was actually looking at reconstructing City Street, 13th Street, which is way over on the east end of town, looking to make that a county road and relieve some of the traffic at Melrose Street. So what we're here today is to look for funding to reconstruct that 13th Street as a county road. One of the big issues at Melrose Street is the amount of traffic generated from Michael Foods, which is a large egg factory in the city of Gaylord. They get roughly 500 semi-loads a day during the traffic study. Huge from all over the country. And because of the close intersection spacing and the unfamiliarity with the area, that's one of the leading causes to the accidents.
Let's see. Would you like to go next, Mr. Helget?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Please state your name and proceed.
My name is Steve Helget. I'm the city administrator for City of Gaylord. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. CASA 21 is on the city limits of the community. It's currently a gravel road. Part of this project is we're looking to extend utilities and to pave the roadway, put in a storm sewer pond. This basically puts us in a position to extend our city limits to the east. Our vision through our comprehensive plan is to look for commercial development along Highway 5 to the east. That's our next vision as far as where we're going to be looking to develop. This project, that's one fold of the project. The second fold, is, as Mr. Becker has already mentioned, is the safety issue at the intersection of Highway 519 and Melrose Street. It's a skewed intersection, and it does lead for some confusion, especially at left turns. We have the school, as mentioned, in that proximity, buses, parents, and staff at peak hours of travel, mornings and after school. Leads to some very challenging, it's a very challenging intersection, and we've certainly have experienced some accidents there. So we're looking for some consideration as far as this project is concerned, as far as the paving and extending of utilities on CASA 21. Thank you.
Okay, so this is $1 million for just the planning and constructing. Do you plan on coming back to the legislature?
The $1 million would be for construction. The counties, we've actually completed the plans. They're at 90% right now. Right-of-way has been purchased already for the project. So really, we would do construction next year. That's kind of on our plan already, to do the construction next year. If the $1 million would be a one-time ask, and that's it.
Oh, God, music to our ears. Praise be. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Members, any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for bringing some joy to our committee today, Representative Harder.
Yes, thank you very much. Having used this road frequently, I can contest that this is a safety risk and this is a good project for the county and the city. So thank you for hearing the project today.
Great, thank you, and thank you for making your way down to testify.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Baker, please come up to the testifying table and shine away. Your testifier is online. Chair Baker.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, thank you for having the hearing today, members. I'm honored today to carry House File 852. This is for the beautiful city of Spicer, Minnesota. It's almost as nice as Alexandria, but I tell you, Spicer is nicer, and we've had that jing for a long time. So we are located on the kind of the south side, southwest side of Green Lake, beautiful Green Lake in Candiway County. In front of us today is a request for $2.1 million for a lift station. Spicer is a smaller community. In the summer, we swell to a large populations. A lot of homes are occupied then around the lake, and our city system is really at a capacity. We also have an opportunity to kind of expand an area for home development, and we really just need this extra push to get a new lift station. So, Madam Chair, I'd like to introduce Mayor Robin DiCatalino. She is online with us, and will explain the project further.
Thank you, Chair Baker. And you may proceed and
thank
state
you,
your name for
Chair,
the record.
Members, for hearing House File 852. For the record, my name is Robin DiCatalino, and I am the mayor of Spicer.
You received our handout detailing our request. However, I would like to tell you a little more about Spicer, where it is nicer. We are located in central Minnesota where the lakes begin. The city of Spicer is nestled on Green Lake, home to approximately 1,150 residents and 527 households. Our city is packed into just over 1 square mile. Spicer may be small, but we play a big role in our region. Green Lake is central to Spicer's identity, economy, and way of life. Yet much of the lake lies outside of our city limits, which means that we don't benefit from the tax base of the seasonal and recreational properties around it, even though our infrastructure bears the full weight of the lake's popularity. Every summer, our population surges with visitors and seasonal residents. While this is a boost for our local businesses, it places a heavy strain on our roads, water, and sewer systems. As the costs continue to rise, it is our year-round residents who are left to carry that growing financial burden. Uh-huh. Local government aid no longer meets infrastructure needs of our expanding community, especially when it comes to essential projects like replacing our lift station. Installed in 2006, our current lift station is aging and sits on private property. With a typical lifespan of 15 to 25 years, we're currently ending the use of its reliable use. If it fails, the consequences will be severe. Sewage backups, contamination of Green Lake, and serious health hazards. We cannot afford to let this happen. This $2.1 million grant offers more than a solution. It's an investment in public safety, environmental protection, and the long-term growth of Spicer. It shows that we are planning responsibly for our residents and for the many who enjoy our community each year. Over the next 5 years, we anticipate the addition of 100 new homes and the potential development of single-family homes on 32 acres along County Road 8. This growth not only increases our demand for our system, which is already stretched thin. We need infrastructure that's built for the future. A new lift station will help protect Spicer's quality of life and support the kind of thoughtful development that our town deserves. Like many rural Minnesota communities, Spicer was hit hard during the pandemic, especially in terms of local business, employment, and economic growth. Our financial reality makes it impossible to fund this project on our own. Now is the time to act before failure forces our hand. This grant gives us a critical opportunity to replace an aging, vulnerable lift station before it becomes a costly disaster. With your support, we can ensure Spicer continues to grow safely, sustainably, and with the strength to serve both our residents and the many who call it home, even for just one season. So again, thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you so much for hearing House File 852. And I also thank Representative Baker for his efforts to carry our message in this very competitive time for state funding.
Thank you, Mayor. A spicy message from Spicer. All right. So any questions, committee members? Comments? Representative Frederick? No? Okay. Representative Baker, Chair Baker, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Lee. Again, I just want to say thanks for the committee. This has been actually requested two, 3 years ago, and I know that, again, every year we have a lot of competition for these limited dollars, and this number hasn't changed. I asked the city of Spicer before I came here this year, does this number still work? I'm trying to keep it as tight as we can, too. This is a tight number to make it work. There's no fluff at all in this. So, Madam Chair, if this does work through, because, again, this, the elevated of the lift station here, it does have real consequences if we don't get it done soon. This help would be terrific. So, with that, I appreciate your support on the bill for further consideration. Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Baker, and thank you for your due diligence.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Representative Dotseff. Representative Dotseff, make your way up and state your name for the record and proceed. And members, remember, allow your testifiers to shine, okay? That way they can say more to their project if need be. Representative
Dotseff. Thank you, Chair Fanzen, Chair Lee, and the members. Today in front of me, I've got House File number 831, which is an infrastructure bill. Another one for our district, as you're getting more and more familiar with our district up in Carlton and Pine County, for sewer and roads. With that, I would like to turn that over to our testifiers. We've got with us today our mayor and our engineer.
All right.
Please state your name for the record and proceed.
All right. I'm Scott Helfman, mayor of Sturgeon Lake. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for hearing us today. We have quite a few roads in town that really need to be upgraded a little bit. We've had, over the years, the traffic and the size of the vehicles on them are really taking a toll on some of our roads that have been constructed previously. We've reached out with our engineers here and done a pacer analysis on the roads and have identified the roads that I think are in real need of reconstruction there. So we're asking for $2.7 million to reconstruct about 3.5 miles of road within our town. We have quite a few, or we have a large RV park there that has about 250 campsites in it, very tourist oriented. So in the summer, those roads really get utilized quite a bit by the tourist industry there. One other thing that we get bombarded with quite a bit is we're right on the edge of General Andrews State Forest, which is a 7,500 plus acre ATV, UTV area. And we border right up on that, and those ATVs come out and wreak havoc on our roads. We've gone through, or we've utilized a bunch of the county services. We're working with them to try to get roads engineered, do the design, and we would like to do all the projects through them utilizing their services.
So I noticed that the bill itself says 2.5, and sir, you mentioned it was 2.7. Just so that we have it down for our spreadsheets, that's all. Representative Dotsett?
Clarification that it was just brought to my attention with increased costs that the ask would now be 2.7, but I think we'd be tickled pink with 2.5.
All right, we might have to have you wash dishes for the remaining amount. Representative Dotsett. Okay, members, Representative Sexton.
Yes, ma'am. Reading the last line of the bill, this corporation does not require a non-state match. Is the city putting any money into this?
Who would like to take that?
Madam Chair, Co-Chair, committee members, my name is Tim Corby, city engineer for Sturgeon Lake, been city engineer for 30 years. I'm also past president for the state's engineering society, ACEC. Yes, they're planning on putting in 10%. Yep, so it's actually a $3 million project, and they're planning on putting in 2.7. If I could add to that, two examples of two of the roads are Cemetery Roads, 1 mile long. It's a $1 million project. Zero residents, so there's no one to assess. Another road is Timberline Road. There's three residents on that road. It's a mile long, another $1 million road. So that would be $330,000 assessment per resident. That's why we're here and have the ask. Just the city cannot afford these projects.
Okay, thank you. Any further member questions? Representative Data, final.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Lee and members, As you're aware, my district is an area that a lot of individuals come up from the Twin Cities and recreate, so it's not necessarily locals that are actually doing the impact on the roads, and it's really more of a statewide effect. So I just thank you for your consideration, and have a great day.
Thank you, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today. Appreciate it. Okay, next up, Representative West, and then followed by Representative Davis. Members, please make your way behind the testifying table so that we can just keep things moving. Representative West, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You look exceptionally beautiful today.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Let me guess, how much do you want? Let's see.
And to add to that, Madam Chair, my request went from $16.5 million to $760,000.
Oh, wow. You better start bringing more compliments to the game.
So this is for the Hornsby Project in Columbus, Minnesota, a new part of my district, a city of around 5,000 people. Got the mayor here and
Deputy Mayor.
With me to present the bill.
And you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ron Hanegraaff. I'm from the city of Columbus, the mayor. And Well, we're located where the junction of 35W and 35E meet, and that's where we're located. And we, our first exit is 97, Trunk Highway 97. What I want to talk about is Hornsby Street, which is about 400 feet away from the exit off of 35. Hornsby is in Anoka County, and we're located bordering Washington County. Hornsby Street is about 2.5 miles long, and it's split with the city of Forest Lake in Washington County. And what occurred to us is in 2019, we improved the roadway down to a certain section when you see the yellow line there, because we had a hint that Forest Lake was going to close Eureka, which comes down from County Road 32 in Washington County. And for that reason, we didn't continue with that project. We stopped it. Well, then in 2022, an oversight by Forest Lake is they didn't put us in a bonding bill or even address it, and it was $4.5 million. And we didn't get addressed in that one, so now all of a sudden they got approved for it, and we got this big gap there. If you look at the, it's the missing link, because to the north, Washington County is going to improve 220th Street or 11th Avenue Southwest, or you want to call County Road 32. They're improving that. And if you go to the east on that, you'll hit 61. 61 will go south to Trunk Highway 97. And Trunk 97 comes all the way back to Hornsby. What's the problem with this road is it's never been improved for about 40 years. It's 35 feet wide. And we got a section there that's going to cost, it's 1,200 feet. It's going to cost $762,000. Our budget is about $5 million, and we're kind of caught in a predicament here on how to fund this project.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Well, you've got quite the bill author to make sure that happens. So I know you've talked about this project many times with me. Okay. So, members, any questions regarding this project? Ms. Representative West is excited to take your questions, but we will move on. Representative West, final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 762 grand, please. I would thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you.
Thank you for making your way down and testifying for your city. Okay, we're going to go to Representative Davis, and then we're going to go to Chair Quam, and then Chair Anderson. Please make your way back to behind the testifying table and be ready. All right, Chair Davis, or Representative Davis, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and happy birthday for last month.
Thank you.
So, boy, very
this
welcome.
Is the greatest committee ever. All right.
Madam Chair and members, thank you for this opportunity to just ask for just a little bit of money compared to the other projects that I've heard here so far. I want to thank you for this opportunity for an important investment in my community. It's $1.8 million to rebuild First Street North in the city of Crosby. And I do have a testifier with me here, the mayor of Crosby, Diane Cash.
It, fun fact, I used to run track, and Crosby Ironton was one of the spots.
We have a good program.
I've got lots of stories. You may proceed. State your name for the record. Proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. My name is Diane Cash, and I'm the mayor of Crosby. Crosby is in the middle of Minnesota, and it's a town of about 2,300 people. On the left is Ironton with 600 people, and on the right is Deerwood with 600 people. Our city is about 3 miles square, and we have a little bit of lakeshore. Some of it's swampy, which is why it's now a park, because it's not buildable. But we don't have very many expensive homes, so we only have 3% of our homes are worth over $1 million. And 22% of our homes are worth under $100,000. There's a lot of old mining houses. But being in Crosby, we are the center of the what we call the Cuyuna Lakes area. And we have one whole square mile of the Cuyuna Rec area within our city limits. And we really appreciate all this investment that has been made in the Cuyuna Rec area. It brings in a lot of people. But our town provides all the services and very little of the property that we serve. We serve about 10,000 people. We have the school, the hospital, the library, and the rec area. And we are in the middle of a $10 million project, so we, and $5 million of that is roads that we'll be paying back over the next 20 years. This particular road is a long road, and it's very important, and there's no tar left, no curb left. It runs parallel with our main street, and with the added traffic, the wear in almost all of our roads has really increased. Any help you could give us would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, questions? Representative Scraba?
Uh-huh. Thank you. How close, Madam Chair? Sorry.
Yes, Mr. Madam Representative Chair. Scraba.
How close are you guys to the bike trail?
It's in our town. Okay. 3 blocks north of Main Street.
Okay.
Right. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair. Are you getting more and more folks that are looking for the second home? Are they trying to buy up all the land? I mean, it happens to us in northern Minnesota.
There's nowhere to build in our town. Every spot is full.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Davis.
Yeah, Madam Chair, if I just may real quick, Representative Scraba, we are actually in the process of trying to get Crosby some more land from the DNR.
So. Oh, that should be a fun fight.
And if we could get 40 more houses, we could build a lot more roads.
That'd be great. Okay, my fun story about Crosby. Every time I think of Crosby, I think of when I'm running track, right? And I was a terrible runner, everybody, so bad that I couldn't do hurdles because I was afraid to jump. I was not very fast, so they just said, you're terrible, why don't you run distance? So, you know, you run around the football field so many times, right? So 8 times is 2 miles. And there was, you had to place like 8th in order to get a point, and there was 9 of us running. And I passed this girl from Cherry who started crying. And I was just happy I got 1 point and we were able to move on for our team. So that's the only thing I contributed in my 4 years of track. that's my fun story. To your bill, final thoughts, Representative Davis?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I played high school football in Crosby.
Oh, fun. So we were at the same field.
So I'll just say this. I would like to invite you all to come visit Crosby Ironton and the wonderful recreation area. It is world renowned for its mountain bike trails, and which brings in a lot of traffic into the town, and so please come spend money at the local shops and restaurants. They are wonderful, and drive down First Street so that you can experience it firsthand for yourself that this road needs to be redone. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Davis. Okay, next up, Representative Quam, Chair Quam. And then we're going to go to Representative Anderson and then Representative Altendorf. And again, members, if you are here, please make your way and be ready behind the testifying table. Representative Quam, Chair Quam, to you, your bill.
Thank you very much. Trunk Highway 14, this project was started before I was born. And these two interchanges would get rid of the last lights along 14 between Rochester and Mankato. There, before the pandemic, I believe that they did a count, and it was in the 30,000 plus in and out across that section of highway. And, you know, frankly, it's past time to take out the 2 stoplights. They're on a 4-lane, because during times of the day, you'll have a mile or two backed up. And this is overdue. And again, 2 regional centers, Mankato and Rochester. But I have a testifier that can give more details, and I believe you do have in your packet a little example of what those 2 interchanges would be like.
Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Michelle Rossman, and I'm an Olmsted County Commissioner. I represent the west central part of Olmsted County, which includes Byron, which is the location of the proposed interchanges we're discussing today. Thank you, Madam Chair, for hearing House File 2272. I'd also like to thank Representative Quam for authoring this legislation. Olmsted County recently partnered with MnDOT, Dodge County, and the cities of Byron and Cassin to complete a corridor analysis which studied the Trunk Highway 14 corridor between Rochester and Cassin. Through this work, a long-term vision was established to improve safety and mobility and encourage regional development. The handout in your packet includes an image illustrating the long-term vision. We're extremely grateful for the support of legislators at both the state and federal levels for fully funding the first interchange in this plan at Kasaw 44 in Olmsted County. Right-of-way is currently being acquired for this project with intentions of beginning construction in the spring of 2026. The interchange is planned to be complete and open to traffic by the end of 2027. The bill before you today addresses the next two interchanges identified in this plan, located at Kasaw 3 and 5. Kasaw 3 is just east of the city of Byron, and Kasaw 5 is within the city limits. The funding will be used for environmental analysis, pre-design, and final design of two grade-separated interchanges. The project will also remove an at-grade railroad crossing and three at-grade intersections, including two traffic signals, which, as mentioned, are the last two remaining between Rochester and Mankato. In the last 10 years, there have been 35 crashes at Kasaw 3, including two fatalities. 88 crashes have occurred at the signalized Kasaw 5 location, including one fatality, and there have been 43 crashes at the signalized 10th Avenue intersection. Traffic volumes and speeds continue to increase along this trunk highway corridor, exacerbating safety concerns at the traffic signals. These signalized intersections create unsafe conditions when drivers are met with an abrupt stop after traveling many, many miles at freeway conditions. In closing, it's vitally important to start working on the interchanges at Kasaw 3 and 5 to continue improving the safety of Trunk Highway 14. This project will also support growth and development in the region as we are growing at a rate faster than state and national averages. Thank you for committing time to learn more about this project, and we would greatly appreciate your support in funding this project. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that, Ms. Rossman. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm, I bet you do.
I sincerely do.
I do know that.
So this is a U.S. highway. Are you receiving any federal funds? Have you applied for any? And if so, what's the status?
Commissioner Rossman?
Madam Chair. With the funding of this pre-designed design and final design, we will then be in a position to apply for things like corridors of Congress funds, raise grants, et cetera. We need to do this environmental review, et cetera. And we have not yet done our analysis with MnDOT with funding, but we do know that the county and the city of Byron and MnDOT will also have some responsibility in final construction. But we need to get this first phase done so that we have all the information we need to go after larger pots of money for construction.
Representative Carroll.
And are you working with your local member of Congress?
Mayor Rossman, or Commissioner Rossman.
Just got that. Madam Chair, we are absolutely in contact with our federal delegation on this project, yes.
Okay, Representative Scraba. You know, I'm gonna start getting bingo cards out for some of our members and you can guess what they're gonna ask.
Thank you, Chair. Ned was going down the same line. I was just wondering if MnDOT was notified. Thank you.
You're good. Okay. Representative Sexton?
On this initial design, is the city of Byron or the county putting any funds in, or is this all bonding funds for the first phase?
Commissioner?
There are some local funds from the county.
I'm not sure the specific, Madam Chair, I'm not sure the specifics on that answer.
Chair Quam?
Yes. The county, after the fatality of a previous county commissioner, there was a great deal of effort, and the county has, with MnDOT, been holding hearings, design reviews, and et cetera. So they've been coming forth with the initial funding, and they have committed to do their part with the funding. I don't have the exact dollars, but one thing that is about this timing, Mayo is spending $5 billion in expansion. There will be an increase of tens of thousands of new employees, and we're already past what we can do with this highway. Getting rid of those stoplights and making safer interchanges should have been done 10 years ago, but if you can imagine, $5 billion is more than we spend in bonding. So that's part of the key of getting this next step so we can do the full federal package and start breaking ground.
That sounds exciting. Let's see, any other questions? No? Oh, all right, yep, we got him. All right, to your bill, final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Again, this was started before I was born. I'm going to have to drive safe to survive for this last bit to finish of the freeway between those two regional centers. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for coming down to advocate for your city, Commissioner. Appreciate that. All right, Chair Anderson, you are next. You may state your name for the record and proceed. Do you have online testifiers today?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Chair Lee, thanks for letting you letting me present to you House File 959, which would provide for the reworking of the interchange and bridge over Interstate 94 in the city of Freeport, which is the home of the Smiley Face Water Tower and Charlie's Cafe. I had to mention that as well. And with us this morning, if everything works, Madam Chair, is the mayor of Freeport, so let's go ahead and hear his testimony.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed, Mayor.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Chair Lee. For the record, my name is Mike Evislagi, Mayor for the City of Freeport. I just want to say thank you to the members of the Capital Investment Committee, Representative Anderson, for authoring House File 959. I want to hit on three really quick points here. First one, the ask is for $6 million for a new overpass that currently needs to be replaced. Two, safety. Community, tourists, our residents, our pedestrians, industrial, agricultural. Thirdly, economic viability. The bridge connects the two sides to Freeport, the north and the south, over 94. We know that we have lost out on at least two new businesses that chose not to locate in Freeport because of this overpass. Those are the three main points. I'm going to try to honor your guys' all of your time and try to hit as many as we can here. Historically, the bridge was originally slated for replacement in 2026. That's now been pushed back to 2036. It needs to be replaced much sooner than the 2036 window. It's already proven to be an unsafe interchange for tourists and specifically the agricultural traffic in our area. Current ADT volumes are estimated at about 4,500. We have, like I mentioned, Freeport is divided north and south. On the south side, we have a number of new housing developments. This is our new part of town. This is where our community ball fields have been located, playgrounds, industrial park. Additionally, we've had farms and implements of husbandry that have grown exponentially in size since the bridge was built. Vehicles that meet on the overpass or meet one of these implements cannot pass side by side. One has to back down. The current bridge has got two narrow travel lanes, no shoulder, with an unguarded 3-foot walkway on the wrong side of what's best practices for pedestrian traffic. Actions that we've already taken. This has been an ongoing process since about 2021. We've established a very great working relationship with MnDOT and with Stearns County regarding this issue. We were supported by Senators Jeff Howe, Senator Tori Westrum. They introduced the bill after visiting Freeport to feel the concerns of the overpass. Representative Anderson also supported the project and authored a companion bill in the House. I have testified, I've spent personal time testifying before the Senate's Transportation Committee to testify. That also led to being contacted by Senator Pappas's office in early 2023 to host the Senate's Capital Investment Committee tour to give them a traveling and a pedestrian experience for the safety concerns of this overpass. So just in conclusion, I just wanted to, like I said, try to honor your guys' time as much as possible. I know how busy you are, especially with coming out on crunch time here. But again, $6 million for safety and for the economic viability of small cities such as Freeport along the I-94 corridor.
Thank you, Mayor. And Chair Anderson has discussed this project with me a few times as well. He's doing his due diligence there. Members, any questions? Chair Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Anderson, the bill language exempt from the local share, and so can you tell us what is the total project cost of the project? Is that $6 million, or is $6 million just the request of the state and then the local community is going to provide some funding to? Thanks.
Chair Anderson.
As I understand, this is a total cost, $6 million of the project.
Okay. All right. Final thoughts, Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Chair Franz. And yeah, if you ever get off the freeway at Freeport and want to go across the bridge, it's kind of like going over a hill. Because of height requirements, there's quite a crest on that bridge, and it's a safety issue, Madam Chair. So thank you, and thanks to the committee.
Yes, I myself have taken that exit many times for gas or Charlie's Cafe. Okay, thank you for testifying. And Mayor, thank you for advocating for your city of Freeport. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Lee.
Thank you. Representative Altdorf, then Representative Joy, and then probably Representative Jacob. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you. Yeah, PM Altdorf, and thank you, Chair Lee and Chair Franson, for hearing our bill today. This is a rerouting highway project, and for those of you who've been on the Capital Investment Committee before, you've probably seen this on tour. This has been ongoing for a while. And please check in your packets. There's a really nice flyer, and I will turn it over to my testifier.
Okay, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you. Greetings, Chair Franson and Chair Lee and members of the committee. I am Mayor Emily Durand of the City of Wabasha. Are you able to hear me all right?
We are. Thank
you. Very good. Very good. Thank you, Representative Altendorf, for bringing HR 365 for consideration, and thank you to our committee administrators for assisting us with the privilege of this process. We really appreciate having a hearing. As described, Minnesota Trunk Highway 60 crosses the Mississippi on the Interstate Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Minnesota and U.S. Highway 61. This supports freight, agriculture, tourism, recreation, and regional commuting. Our economy and way of life depends on it, as does the regions and the states. Wabasha's bridge is the only interstate crossing between Red Wing and Winona, but the existing highway alignment through the community causes many problems for safety, mobility, and efficient freight transportation. The existing Trunk Highway 60 route is increasingly prone to closures due to flooding. It was closed 70 days between 2019 and 2023. It is subject to height restriction at the Canadian Pacific Railway crossing and includes four stop-controlled intersections. Heavy truck traffic is rerouted through a long-standing area, which impedes safe mobility on primary routes to adjacent schools, playgrounds, a childcare center, and a commercial area, which includes notably our community's only supermarket. The problems associated have been known for over 25 years. Consistent with our 2016 comprehensive plan and traffic study, this realignment became a renewed focus in 2019 when Wabasha participated in a legislatively funded project called Greater Minnesota Futures. Through this work, significant community engagement and planning on this longstanding problem led to the selection of the concept that we desire today. It would redirect traffic through an underutilized city-owned 11-acre parcel without obstruction. It would then join an existing truck route on County Highway 30, and from there join U.S. Highway 60, avoiding all the aforementioned problems and significantly diminishing noise, air pollution, and increasing safety for all users. The realignment as proposed will allow us to infill the site out of the floodplain and essential infrastructure and add essential infrastructure and pedestrianize what is literally the center of our community. This plan is recognized by MnDOT District 6 as well as Wabasha County, and both support a realignment. I would direct you now to the handout page lower right corner to show you where we're at from a funding standpoint. Combining local, state, and federal funding is the current next critical step. And to that end, Senator Amy Klobuchar visited with us in 2023 and took a look at the serious volume of truck traffic stopping and turning onto residential blocks, stopping and turning again, stopping again, and once more stopping and J-turning onto U.S. Highway 61. She has since secured $5 million in a congressionally directed allocation, which brings us much closer to project feasibility. These federal funds sunset in 2027, and it is of utmost importance that we secure sufficient and timely state support to begin the project so it aligns with that horizon. A major local contribution to the project was a $2.4 million relocation of the community's major athletic facilities, which have been in the proposed project area for over 40 years and have suffered deterioration and disuse due to repeated flooding. This relocation clears the project site for the proposed realignment. We are positioned for immediate project start with initial environmental work already underway, also as a local initiative. Of the project's $12.3 million cost, we are requesting a GO bond of just under $2.9 million. We're very pleased to have had the good fortune of securing federal support and do not want to jeopardize losing it. The project has well-planned transportation infrastructure that bolsters both housing and commercial development, access to national resources, and improved flood resilience at the terminus of one of six of Minnesota's interstate Mississippi River freight and vehicle bridge crossings. Like all of Minnesota, Wabasha needs 21st century transportation infrastructure built out of the floodplain to help promote local and regional resilience. And we thank you for considering appropriating a portion of the funds for these transportation improvements outlined in HR 365. This will greatly assist with this regionally significant project. And I would stay for any questions. Really appreciate your time considering this. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Members, any questions? All right. Representative Altendorf, final thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I have brought cookies, and some of you might think of that as bribery. But actually, they have a picture of the roundabout, so you can see on it the future of what we need to have happen. Wabasha is a small town, but this is a big highway project. This is one of the main entrances from Wisconsin into Minnesota. It is a problem with flooding. This solves that. And the city itself has very creatively gone to many resources, as you can see on your flyer, for funding. If we do not start the project by 2027, we will lose the $5 million match. And so there is certainly an urgency to start this. And again, I thank you. And as you take a bite into that cookie, think of how sweet it is to secure the $5
million. Thank you, Representative Altendorf, for that. Okay, next up, and then thank you for testifying as well. Okay, let's see here. Next up, we have Representative Joy and then Representative Jacob. What a joy it is to have Representative Joy in front of us again.
Thank you, Chair Franson and Chair Lee, for having me. It's a joy to be here. This committee is great. So I won't spend too much time as my testifiers drove a long ways down here. I will let them take over and explain what they're looking for road projects.
Thank you for allowing your testifiers to shine in this moment. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. My name is John Bedine. I am the mayor of Lake Park, Minnesota. I just want to thank the chair and the member committees for the opportunity to speak to you today. Lake Park is a small town of about 750 people. We are located halfway between Moorhead and Detroit Lakes on Highway 10. Lake Park is very proud to be one of the gateway to some of the nicest lakes in Minnesota. We're a friendly, hardworking community where we value our quality of life, small town connection, and affordable living. We are seeing new housing in our town, young families, seniors, and others who want to move to our home. Make it their home. The truth is our roads were built decades ago. We've gotten pretty much all the life out of them that we can get. We've done our best to maintain them, but the maintenance has got to the point where we've had to actually tear up some of the roads and they've gotten back to gravel. We've tried different programs, LRIP, TED, Small City Assistance, but unfortunately, none of them had fit this project, and that's why we're here. That being said, we're not expecting the state to carry the entire load. We're working with Becker County, which is improving their county roads through the town. And the city, we have budgeted $2 million towards this project, so we're doing our part, but we need a partner to help us get the project done. Like many small towns, we don't have the amount of people and the tax base to support this scope of a project. This will be the biggest project we've ever done for the city. That's why, if you look at the sheet, we're requesting $2 million. The county has allotted their $1.36 million. For their streets, and then we're looking for a match of $2 million from the state. This is a huge project for us. I have implemented a few things for the future to maintain these roads the best we can to get the most life out of them that we can. And like I say, we are respectfully asking for the support of $2 million investment. This is not a one-time fix, but it's a strategic action that will benefit our community for decades. So I just want to thank you for your time and hopefully your support and helping us keep our community safe, connected, and moving forward. And we'd welcome any questions that you have.
Thank you so much. Do you want to add to the record at all, sir? No? Okay. Members, any questions? Representative Carroll.
Just a clarification. If it's not a one-time fix, what is it? And sounds like you're going to be back for more.
Okay, that's quite the accusation there, Carol. Yes, Representative Joy.
So as you can see, Lake Park, I don't think, has been to the bonding committee before. And what this will do is get these streets, and that's what we have Tyson here from the engineering firm. It's a $5.3 million for the city of Lake Park, and they're asking for $2 million. They've saved and got their money to have matching funds, and this won't be a one-time. This will, what the mayor's referring to is one time, probably when they will be back done because they have never been here before, and he hopes this just gets them long-term and they won't be back in front of this committee.
Well, that would be kind of sad, huh? If we don't see him again?
Can I just follow up?
Representative Carroll?
Thank you. I said that with all due respect. Thank you.
All right. Representative Joy, final thoughts?
Great bill.
It is. Thank you. All right. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol today and testifying for your city. Thank you, Representative Joy. Representative Jacob. And then we have Representative Johnson is next. So please make your way back and get on ready. Representative Jacob, please state your name for the record and proceed for House File 366.
Good morning. Yeah. Representative Jacob, District 20B. So thank you, Chair Franson, Chair Lee, committee members for hearing House File 366 today. And I'll note that I did serve on the Winona County Road and Bridge Committee as a chair for 10 years, and I'm quite familiar with this project, so I'll be testifying myself on behalf of the project. Winona County has the unfortunate distinction of having the only unpaved highway in the state of Minnesota. In 2001, this highway received an autoseal surface. Autoseal is a surface made by layering on sprayed down oil followed by a layer of aggregate. The process needs to have two layers of each to be effective. The surface looks and behaves like pavement, but costs only a fraction of what bituminous pavement costs. OTTA, OTA. The 2001 surface on Highway 74 lasted and performed much better than expected. The surface worked so well that we did 10 other county roads with the autoseal surface in Winona County. However, after 20 full years, the surface on 74 had deteriorated, and in 2021, MnDOT removed the surface without any plans to fund putting the surface back on and turn the road back to crushed rock. You can imagine the dismay of the public when they found out there is no plan in place to put a surface back on that road. Could you imagine the highway department taking the pavement off the road you live on and turning it to crushed rock? So House File 366 provides the needed funds to put a similar surface back on Highway 74 and restore the road back to its previous condition with only $1.2 million price tag. So there's five main reasons to fund this project, the first being tax savings. The reason we did an additional 10 autoseal projects in Winona County is because we were able to determine that after only 8 years, the autoseal surface became less expensive than the ongoing maintenance of the never-ending process of adding and grading crushed rock on the surface. Since the 2001 autoseal surface on Highway 74 lasted a full 20 years, it ended up costing the taxpayers less than half the money that would have been spent had the road remained crushed rock. Secondly, is safety. The autoseal surface eliminates dust associated with crushed rock roads, and I've received just countless phone calls from constituents that have either had a close call or an accident resulting from visibility issues from the tremendous clouds of dust on the road since the surface has been removed. Reason number three is environmental issues. This particular four-mile stretch of highway runs through the heart of the Whitewater Wildlife Management Area, and I've personally seen turtles covered in white lime dust, as well as any other wildlife that comes within the clouds of billowing dust generated from the countless cars on a crushed rock highway. And reason number four is fairness. It's unfair to this community to single out this one state highway and treat it differently than all the other highways in the state. And lastly, the improved surface is a much better service to the community. Crushed rock is meant for county roads and country roads, not state highways. Drivers that are routed by GPS mapping to this highway have a reasonable expectation that any state highway will not have a crushed rock surface full of washboards, potholes, and clouds of dust. So there's a letter that I distributed to you from our county highway engineers. I'd encourage you to look at that. And I also note that in 2022, Gene Pawlowski and Jeremy Miller carried this bill, had it approved in both houses. And I would just say it's time to finish the job that they started back in 2022. And I'd appreciate your support, and I'd stand for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Jacobs. Members, questions? No? Okay. All right, Representative Jacobs, final thoughts to your bill.
Well, in closing, it's an important bill. It's important to my community, and I'd appreciate support on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jacobs, for being here and advocating for your city. Next up, we have Representative Johnson. Please make your way. And then we're going to have Representative Chair Schumacher next. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Wayne Johnson, Representative. Thank you. Do you want me to start? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair Friends and Chair Lee, members of the committee, for allowing us to bring forward file 11-96. Just so I can have all the get all the information out to you as I can, with me is Commissioner Carla Bingham, Mayor Myron Bailey, and we're going to just go right to Commissioner Bingham to start off.
All right, Commissioner, also former senator, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for and having House me member. Today. My name is Carla Bingham, and I'm the Washington County Commissioner and actually former state representative as well, Madam Chair.
Yes. Before my time.
Yes.
But
yes.
I've heard stories. Good ones. Good ones. Only good ones. Only good stories.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. But I do represent this other portion of the county, including the wonderful community of Cottage Grove. And I am joined here today by the city of Cottage Grove. And we definitely thank Representative Johnson for his unwavering support of this incredibly important project and the committee for your consideration of the $22.5 million request for the 19A and 100 Street realignment. So the purpose of this project is to construct a new arterial highway that will improve safety and more evenly distribute the regional traffic near Highway 61 in the city of Cottage Grove. To date, this county and the city have secured $13.6 million in competitive grant funding. About $8 million of that is federal. And we are at risk of having to return that federal funding if we cannot secure the remaining funding and begin construction on the project as scheduled. This project is a comprehensive approach to addressing the deficiencies in the area's transportation network. And there are a couple key benefits that I want to quickly highlight, which are trails and freight. Today, much of the project does not have sidewalks or trails, and the heavy truck traffic means residents are not comfortable walking and biking along that roadway and shoulders. This project does offer new trails where today there are none, improving the biking and pedestrian experience and increasing those connections for the future Mississippi River Trail. And then related to freight, the drastic increase in development has actually increased congestion and accelerated the infrastructure deterioration due to the limited routes to and from the business park. And moreover, the railroad crossings are cause for safety concerns and restrict truck traffic. So that realignment project does eliminate the grade crossings and offers a direct connection to Highway 61 there from that business park, improving safety and operations of the existing and future businesses. So to tell you more about the economic benefits of the project, please allow me to introduce the mayor of Cottage Grove, Myron Bailey.
You may proceed, Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair Lee and members of the committee. Again, my name is Myron Bailey. I'm the mayor of Cottage Grove. And thank you for allowing me to speak today. I'm obviously here in strong support of bonding dollars for County Road 19A and 100th Street realignment project, which for us is a very critical infrastructure investment with significant regional and statewide economic impact. This project is not just about moving dirt and building roads. It's about unlocking economic opportunity. It directly supports over 2,000 acres of planned development and immediately opens access to 500 acres of high potential land that simply cannot be developed without this road. this 500 acres where we can bring in, this is 500 acres, excuse me, where we can bring in new industrial, commercial, and logistic businesses, creating, obviously, hundreds of good-paying jobs and growing our tax base that will contribute not just to the city, the county, but also to the state for decades to come. Washington County and the City of Cottage Grove has already secured, as noted, $13.6 million in competitive grant funding to move this project forward. But those funds are at risk if we cannot complete this project. And without this road, this land will stay idle. And with it, obviously, we launch into an era of new growth. This is a true partnership. Our county and federal partners are fully committed to this program. We are now asking the state to help us finish the job. This project will deliver long-term returns through job creation, private investment, and economic vitality that will benefit not just our region, but the state of Minnesota. And with that, I will stand for any questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Questions, members? No? Okay. Representative Johnson, final thoughts.
Thank you, Chair Franzen, Co-Chair Lee, and members for allowing us to come before you. It's a very important project that will move progress forward. It's critically needed. And good news for you, Chair Franzen, you no longer have to have me coming up and asking you when I'm going to be able to do this.
Oh, never say never. All right. And we also have a former representative as well, Representative Liz Holberg, who is now a commissioner in our committee as well. So welcome. Okay, so that is that. Thank you for testifying today, Mayor and Commissioner. And thank you, Representative Johnson, for advocating for your city of Cottage Grove. Next up, Representative Schumacher. Let's see how funny you can be in front of us today.
Beg your pardon, Madam Chair.
Uh-huh. All right, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Joe Schumacher here with House File 866 for the City of Slayton and some reconstruction that needs to be done to one of the roads there. With me today is Josh Malkow from the City of Slayton to present on why this is so important.
You may state your name for the record and proceed, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You told us to let ourselves shine.
Yes.
Between Joe and I's hairline, we shouldn't have a problem with that today. Cameras and lights. I have to turn this iPad down.
Somebody should have told us to bring sunglasses today.
walk into that one. Members, thank you for allowing time today. A handful of you in the room have been on this fantastic road that we call 34th Street. You can see in the handout we were fortunate enough to get both Senate and House Capital Investment Committee tour in October of 2023. I believe Chair Franzen was looking for some hot wings at the end of that night, if I remember correctly. You're staying in Worthington, so hopefully
yes.
Track those down. Mm. 0.8 miles, so thusly not able to be phased. We are looking at a 50-50 partnership with the state, $5 million total project cost. Estimated, I'm looking for 2.5 from the state and 2.5 local, which would be special assessment and just general levy dollars. We've attempted to go through LRIP, and we've also talked to the congressional delegation federally. We have a few bigger projects that we're looking for from CDA process federally. So this would be a one-off. We would not come back to the bonding committee. Many years ago, this was a county state aid highway, and then it got turned back about 30, 40 years ago. And it is such that it is the main thoroughfare on the southern end of town from Trunk Highway 267 to U.S. Highway 59. And it is Trunk Highway 267, a tenth of a mile of county state aid highway, the 0.8 miles of 34th Street, which is purely our responsibility, another tenth of a mile of county state aid highway, and then the highway. So the vast majority of the project is solely up to the City of Slayton to cover. It is a residential area, but it is also used for a main kind of agricultural and commercial thoroughfare for between those two state highways. And thusly, we've determined, looking at it, that it would be a bit disproportionately unfair to the local taxpayers, both citywide in terms of the levy dollars, but also those that would be specially assessed for the project, because those folks are not necessarily the ones really banging up the road. So you can see on the back of your handout the pictures. Those are about as current as they get. They were taken on the 4th of April. It's not looking too great, as you can see, so it will look less great after planting season as well when we get all that equipment on it. So more than happy to take questions.
All right. Thank you for that. Members? No? Okay. Representative Schumacher, final thoughts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you know, water infrastructure is very important, as is local road projects.
So many. Yes, they are. All right. Thank you. And thank you for making your way down to the Capitol to testify. I appreciate you both very much. Okay, guys, I'm up next. So hold on to your britches for a second.
Cosmic Center?
Yeah,
Cosmic. Welcome to the committee. Chair Franzen, please state your name and continue on with your bill.
Thank you. Representative Franzen, District 12B, Alexandria. Members, I'm here to support House File 2652 for a MIC's permanent campus location in Richfield. The programming provided by MIC to young adults with autism and learning differences needs the ability to grow to serve more students and graduates. Some of you may remember quite a few years ago when Michael came and testified to our committee, and he literally left a mark on my heart for the passion that he had for the school that he attends. And so I'm going to bring the bill forward so that the testifiers can shine.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Amy Goodmanstead. I serve as the CEO at Minnesota Independence College and Community, known as MICC. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today in support of our transformational project, the creation of a permanent purpose-built campus for MICC in Richfield. MICC is a 28-year-old organization offering life skills and vocational training for autistic and neurodivergent adults who seek to live and work independently in the Twin Cities. Our program is one of only a handful like it in the nation, and the demand is significant. Between 2009 and 2020, Minnesota saw a 138% increase in autism diagnosis in our schools. Yet, resources for young adults for these young adults after high school is critically limited. Today, we serve approximately 183 individuals each year on our campus, which is made up of a patchwork of rented and outdated and inaccessible spaces. Despite these challenges, MICC graduates achieve independent living, stable employment, and vibrant social lives, enriching Richfield's economy and community life. In fact, over 100 alumni now live in a 10-block radius of MICC, supported by our ongoing services and employed by more than 60 local businesses. However, without a fully permanent, fully accessible learning center, we cannot meet the growing demand. We are seeking $11 million in state funding to construct a 27,000-square-foot, two-story learning center in headquarters. The total project costs $18 million. MICC has launched a $7 million capital campaign and to date has secured $3.5 million in pledges, demonstrating our deep commitment and strong community support. This is a critical investment, not just in MICC, but in Minnesota's future workforce and inclusive communities. I want to thank Chair Franzen and thank all of you for your time and consideration, and I will take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Please state your name and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Ben Lentz. I'm the Chief Advancement Officer at MICC, and I stand by Ms. Goodmanstead's comments.
Thank you. We have questions. Chair Kosnick.
Just more of a statement. Thank you for bringing this, and I'm not sure how the committee will ultimately decide, but I've been there as well, and I did run in their like marathon 5K. I didn't come in first, but I was amazed to hear tour the facility and the impact that you're making on these people and these families. So I hope we can do something. Thank you, Chair Franzen.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair. On the handout, it's like only one-third have any post-secondary education, and less than half hold any paid employment with 4 years of graduating high school. What happens to the rest? Just curious.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Many of the young adults that are autistic and neurodivergent that don't get opportunities like MICC have a very difficult time launching outside of their parents' homes. So many of them will not have the chance to have a job, have a chance to give back to the community. They have the abilities, they have the skills, they just don't have the learning environment to refine those skills. So there becomes a very isolated adulthood is what's happening.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you. So this will increase the number of people that we're serving now. It'll add, it gives hope to a lot of families.
Please proceed.
Absolutely. We are currently providing our programming in a 1950s Ridgefield apartment complex. We've transitioned our class, three-bedroom apartments into classrooms. We are not in a position to be able to grow, and the need is extreme, and we would love to create an educational environment that will thrive and launch more people into independence.
Thank you. Next, we have Representative Myers.
Thank you, Chair Fogelman. Thank you, Chair Franzen. This is good timing for me. My nephew, Henry, just turned 18 last week. He's autistic. You know, that the families struggle daily, you know, with some of this stuff. But, you know, giving this consistency, giving these options is so important. You know, projects like these have a huge impact throughout our community for a lot of reasons, supportive employment, other things. I mean, you know, I'd love to see more of these projects. So hopefully this is something that we can all get behind. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Myers. Next, we have Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair, and I just wanted to commend Chair Franzen for bringing this bill. I think it's a great project, and thank you guys for coming and telling us your story. So thank you. Good job.
Thank you, Representative Carroll. Closing thoughts, Chair Franzen.
So the results of the program are unmatched, not only in Minnesota, but nationally. I'm proud to support this bill. I'm proud to have members support this bill, and I thank you for your time, committee members. And thank you for testifying today.
Thank you. And next up we have Chair Kosnick. Please make your way forward.
Please state your name for the record and proceed. Thank you.
Madam Chair, John Kosnick, State Representative from Lakeville. And with me, I have our county commissioner and county engineer on a rather large construction project, and I'll just turn it over to them to explain the project.
All right. Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
All right. Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Mary Liz Holberg. I'm a Dakota County commissioner. Many of you are familiar with Lakeville, 35E, 35W. Heavily traveled commuter corridor in the South Metro. It's ripe for extension of Minpass Lane. We have major safety concerns in this corridor. And through previous investments, the 35, the 494 corridors done, Crosstown, the project south of downtown, the bridge over the river's been built. Kind of the next section is 42. South into Lakeville. One of the key components of that is the interchange at County Road 50 and 35, think Fleet Farm, Cracker Barrel. Dakota County is very unique in that in the state of Minnesota, major arterials, i.e. roads that carry tens of thousands of cars a day on it, there are a total of 80 lane miles in the state of Minnesota that are major arterials that are not on the state system. 31 of those miles are in Dakota County. So we carry 39% of the major arterial lane miles in the state of Minnesota. that are not state highways are in Dakota County. There's no east-west state highway from 13 in Burnsville to 19 in Northfield. So if you think of all these county roads. And so what the problem we have is, historically, two of the county roads went over the freeway, and we were able to take care of those interchanges at 46, think Burns, Buck Hill, and 70, think the big movie theater. That was done with mostly county and city dollars, those interchanges. Now our problem is that 50, County Road 50 goes underneath 35. And we need MnDOT's help. And so this is a project that would be key to be getting done first before you could improve some of the mobility problems in the South Metro. Our problem is that there's not enough stacking room and spacing. When the interchange gets backed up, then the traffic backs up past onto the freeway. Four times the safety crash rate, almost 500 accidents from, I think it's 2011 to 2021. Dozens since then, they're serious. High injury, high impact. And so we need help in making the bridge larger in order to make the county road underneath have enough room. We dug out half of the area under the bridge a number of years ago to add a third lane under there, but it's totally inadequate. In addition, the fire station that serves the western side of Lakeville is located on the east side of the freeway. We have instances where our fire trucks can't get under. And in wrapping up, I know you're concerned about local match. The city and the county have already invested over $20 million, excuse me, in right-of-way acquisition. You'll see in our request for GO bonding that the county is bringing another 10.9, a 50% match. So we're putting substantial dollars into this. This is on top of the nearly over $50 million that we've spent on interchanges in that corridor with local property dollars. And so we're here with help on this. We're grateful to Chair Kosnick for authoring this bill and the support of Chair Hansen in co-authoring it. And it's the number one priority for Dakota County.
Thank you for that. Members, questions? No? Representative Scrabo?
Is 1349 are they connected at all, 50 and 39?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, what is, one might be the trunk highway portion?
I'll do it. Okay. Chair Kosnick.
Chair Franson, representatives, House File 50 is for the trunk highway portion that we will be addressing in the transportation bill. And 1349, the projects are right on top of each other. There's an underpass under the freeway, so that's why they're separate bills. The one that we're talking about mostly today is for $10.8 million in, for the county aid, and again, a 50% match. We don't see that a lot in the projects here, so I would appreciate the committee's support. I did send you the little video. We've talked about in other committee, other bonding years, the road rage because of the overcapacity. We don't want any more truckers jumping out and getting cut off and taking their axe and chopping off the mirrors of drivers. So we would appreciate your support.
Did that actually happen?
Yeah, check your... I sent you the video,
I haven't
Madam
watched
Chair.
It.
It's been in the news. It's just illustrative of the danger and the crash rates in the air in this intersection. So
sounds like a horror movie.
Madam Chair, you've probably driven on that intersection, and I'm glad you made it safely.
Thank you. I am, too, considering my driving record.
Next time you come to Lakeville, you also make it safe.
Representative Sexton.
Having driven that very many times and actually lived up in that area, is there any widening of that from four-lane to six-lane in the plan?
Chair Kosnick, our commissioner.
So, Madam Chair, there was a study with MnDOT that looked at the whole corridor. It looked from 50 up to 42. a recognition of a need to extend MinPass Lane. So that study was vital to planning for the size of the bridge to be built, and there are additional slip lanes. What became very clear very quickly is that they needed to extend the study down to 185th or County Road 60, think Super Target, because coming out of Scott County from the west is a major load of traffic onto that freeway from the west. And so eventually, if you put all the project together, it priced out at about $200 million to do everything that needed to be done. But again, if you are going to have to shut down this freeway and detour traffic, think Highway 13 in Burnsville over to like either 3 or down through Scott County, down tonight. I mean, you got to get that bridge bigger before you can really do any kind of meaningful work on the interstate, let alone get our county road underneath the bridge. So it's kind of a key. We need to do this first before we can solve a lot of other things.
Well, that's what I was trying to understand, the scope of what you're trying to accomplish. So, that's well detailed in here.
So this project is just the interchange, Madam Chair, just the interchange section. But again, you can't really do much until you get this bridge wider to begin to work at other elements of construction in the corridor. And this is a major safety point as well.
Representative Sexton.
So does MnDOT have a timeline when they would potentially widen that to, you know, even further south because of the hill for County Road 70 to 6 lanes? I'm trying to figure out how this whole big picture is.
Commissioner Holberg.
Madam Chair, the purpose of the original study, the bridge, when it would be done to accommodate this project, would be built big enough for a 50-year bridge. They're not going to undersize the new bridge, but that's why we studied the whole corridor. But again, the dollars that you see that delineate the local and MnDOT portions are only for that section of the interchange. So think basically in front of Fleet Farm, you know, just the on and off ramps, getting the pedestrian infrastructure underneath the bridge.
Representative Perez Vega.
Hi, I'm just going to line things up here, Representative Koznick. As a representative who represents a little piece of Dakota County, I was just wondering, you mentioned Cracker Barrel. Is there any opportunity in the near future with this construction that we can get one in West St. Paul?
Chair Koznick.
I'd be happy to connect you.
All right. Thank you for testifying today, Chair Koznick. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts is this is a critical safety project. Has over 78,000 vehicles traveling on a day, and has a high local contribution. And so I think it meets all the critical needs that we look at in this committee, and appreciate the committee's support, especially want to keep Chair Franzen safe when she visits Lakeville.
Thank you. And thank you for testifying today. Appreciate your time here at the Capitol.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. All right, Vice Chair Fogelman, you are on deck. And then we will have Representative Reimer after that. You will close us up. Please state your name and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franzen and committee. I'm Representative Marge Fogelman, and today I have House File 885 for the City of Butterfield. Today for testifiers, I have Mayor Warner and Council Member Warwick to testify on behalf of their bill.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Jim Warwick. Thank you, Madam Chair. We actually started having a look at our infrastructure quite a while ago and found out that, like, we had so many broken pipes and sewer problems in the wintertime, and we keep fixing them all the time, and we finally had SCH come and do a analysis of the whole city, and they said that we have the distinction of having the worst manhole covers anywhere in a couple streets. So that's what we did, is just kind of flag them off so people don't drive on them, and had waste management come so they don't fall in. But anyhow, that being said, we just need our sewer system upgraded. We have a chicken park processing plant there, so we have a little bit more elaborate system that we have to indulge in. And our, I think there's pictures that you might have, but one of it is the walkway out to the aeration pond. One of them actually is completely shot, so it's falling in. So we had to put floating aerators around to maintain so we can get oxygen into the ponds. The north one is still in existence, but that as well is deteriorating as well. So we need them replaced. As well as the pump station, the lift station is actually way outdated. We did put some pumps in there several years ago, but it's the station itself is just deteriorating beyond repair. So probably some of the water things that we've come across is that the water pipes are, you know, we don't have like enough pressure for the water, the fire, if they have a issue, so we don't have enough water pressure in parts of town, so they end up filling on the south side of town. So we were actually asking for more, so we did a phase thing. So what we did is we're going to run the new line down through a county road, and they're going to partner with us on that. And then we're going to run down the worst street that we have where there's three bad manholes, and that will cover that. And then redo the station, the lift station, and then get the pond up, the two main ponds that need aeration, get them done and get them structures that are going to fall in, get them taken out.
So as I'm looking at the bill here, sir, we've got a bill written for $16 million, yet on the sheet that you have, it says funding request 7.9.
16, that would be the total that we had originally was $30 million.
So you are requesting $16 million.
They are going to have to, they need to discuss that with their council if they're going to do the 15 or the 8.
Okay.
He's not sure why, but there's the confusion of the numbers.
Okay. Yeah, if you could let us know there, Mr. Warwick.
Well, 16 would cover then we could do the whole expense of the whole town because the whole town needs to be redone. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of, their sewer pipes are mostly clay, so, and we have so much infrastructure. When you have water come in, that it just overwhelms the system. But we cut it down to a phase, and that's why we went to the smaller number.
Okay, so 7.9 would be the phase then?
Cover the one part, right.
Okay.
And then we'd have to do the other part later.
Understandable.
When we tried the bigger amount, that we'd be better off trying to, reduce it down. So hopefully that makes sense.
All right. Thank you for that. Members, any questions? No? Okay. Thank you for testifying today. Vice Chair Fogelman, final thoughts.
Thank you, Chair Franzen and committee. If they can get something with the phase, that would probably be the best for them so that they can put out fires or anything like that if they need it in the town. So thank you for your consideration of the project.
Thank you, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol to testify today. Appreciate it. Last but not least, Representative Reimer for House File 1788, benefiting North Branch. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair Lee, and members of the committee to present House File 1788. My name is Max Reimer, representing Chisago County. This project is an interchange project. It's both important for the growth of the town I call home, North Branch, but also very critical to the public safety of North Branch as well. So with that, I have Mayor Kevin Scheiber today to present the bill and talk a little bit more about the project.
Mayor, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
All right. My name is Kevin Scheiber. I'm the mayor of North Branch. Madam Chair Franzen, Co-Chair Lee, committee members, thank you for listening to and welcoming our project. And thank you to Representative Max Reimer for authoring this bill. Our $4 million request for design, pre-design, and right-of-way acquisition is part of a regional transportation plan affecting Chisago County and addressing safety concerns along State Highway 95. As Representative Reimer described, this project is seeking planning money to address an increasingly dangerous intersection leading into North Branch's downtown area. Our plan is to establish another interchange north of the existing I-35 interchange to divert commercial truck and other heavy traffic away from our downtown area and alongside the main entrance of our 250-acre industrial park. According to a 2017 traffic study, this section of State Highway 95 handles approximately 12,000 vehicles daily, exceeding North Branch's population of 10,000 residents at that time. Today, our population has grown to more than 12,000, with an additional 1,200 homes projected to be built over the next 8 years. This intersection is at the heart of our downtown, State Highway 95 and County Road 30, and is the primary access point for east and westbound industrial vehicles, including semi-trucks, as they navigate to both of our industrial parks. The roadway's narrow design frequently causes regular traffic to have to back up in order to make room for the larger turning vehicles, and sometimes causes near misses with buildings and pedestrians located at the corners of the intersection. This situation is further complicated by the fact that at least 50% of the anticipated residential and commercial growth over the next 8 years will occur on the areas west of I-35. This creates more challenges for our public safety services and substantially impacts emergency response times in these areas as well. Now, despite our relatively modest population, the city has already invested nearly $4 million acquiring three of the four quadrants located along I-35 and 400 Street, as well as the roadway approaches on both sides of I-35. Since 2018, North Branch has worked vigorously to address this issue independently, but we've reached a point where state involvement is essential in order to move this forward. As I conclude our testimony, I could overwhelm you with more stats about our traffic counts going from east to west. 12,000 by the time it gets to I-35, it's over 22,000 cars daily. But I'd rather you see it in person. So this is my invitation to the committee to come up to North Branch and share lunch with us at our beloved Merchants Cafe, which is right in the corner of this, what we call the infamous intersection. And I guarantee you, a minimum takeaway is you're going to have a full belly and a smile when you leave North Branch. So with that, that's what I have, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you for that. Members, questions? Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have a question. I have a comment. And it was last week, I was blown away by Representative Reimer and his singing ability during a karaoke event. I didn't take part, and I was there. I heard this voice, and I'm going, who is that? And I looked up, and it's Representative Reimer. It just blew me away. But anyway, I'll stop. Thank you.
I'm waiting for the day that you sing, Representative Carroll. I'm waiting for the day that you sing. I'm thinking maybe you and Perez Vega, Representative Perez Vega, a duet.
Well, Madam Chair, I was just going to say that Representative Perez Vega and I, we're going to drop an EP sometime in the fall together, okay?
I love that.
Combination of white bread and some Latin flair.
Representative Perez Vega.
Madam Chair, I just have to clear for ethics. I'm not here to discuss any label arrangement. Thank you.
That makes one of us.
All right. Well, I say don't quit our day jobs, though, right?
That's right.
Okay, members, I think I want to thank you. Representative Reimer, do you have final thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for members of the committee for hearing this today. I also invite you up to North Branch. We could go to Merchants Cafe, or we could also go to Chipotle now. We have a Chipotle. So I guess you could say it's getting pretty serious up in North Branch. There's a handout that was included with the bill, and you can kind of see where the proposed interchange is and why it's important to my community. So thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for making your way down to the Capitol to testify for your city of North Branch today. We appreciate it. Okay, members, that concludes today's committee hearing. Yep. So I'm not really sure when our next committee hearing will be. We are going to go on a much needed break, all of us. And then we will come back. So I guess stay tuned for posted meetings, right? Okay. And with that, we are we adjourned? We have anything else to add? No? All right. We are adjourned.